an update on from Michael, what have been a couple of things going on in the city and with your assistance, Kevin. So we'll get to that in a little bit. And also, I asked Kate Saddlemeyer to come and join us today from the Summitlands Conservancy. We've worked with her. She's an attorney for them, and among other things, moving projects along, and ask you to kind of summarize where you guys are at. Some of you had your big fundraiser and have some really good news all on the Wasatch back. So I think we will enjoy that. Let's see. It's been a couple of months since we had a formal meeting, and I thought maybe, Michael, that if no other reason for these two, if we could go around the table and introduce ourselves. Can you start with you? And
I'm Michael Hinke. I'm the City Community Development Director, so I'm the planner for the city is what it is. So I've been working for Midway for 17 years or so now. We've made great progress with both open space bond funds and being able to preserve property, but also creating subdivision codes that have helped create some more open space around town. So the committee's been very instrumental in that, so I'm happy to be a part of that.
Thank you. Cortland Nelson, I have a block and a half down here. This is my 50th summer on and off in Midway. I was a young park ranger, seasonal park ranger up at Wasatch, and got here. And 2 years later, Mitzi and I were newlyweds living in a little rock house over here. And we came and left a few times during the ensuing decades, but we've been back here since 14. And I was asked to be interested in the open space work when it was going through the city process and working with the county. And so since 18, been on the board here in Midway. And I think I mentioned to you, Jared, but we make recommendations to the city council. And we're batting 1,000, but there are all kinds of contingencies that are tied to those that you become aware of. So we're real proud of our work and moving on. Kevin.
Kevin Payne. We moved here 11 and a half years ago. Let me see. My background is I'm a developer my entire career of affordable housing all throughout the western U.S. and got involved here when we moved here, served on the planning commission for 3 years, and then ran for council, so this is my second term.
Very good, thank you.
I'm Woody Woodruff, moved here about 9 years ago, and been on the open space committee since day one.
So, all right.
With Cortland, he and I are the original old dinosaurs.
And tell me about what you do in Park City as a volunteer.
I volunteer at the National Ability Center as a ski instructor during the winter, and then I'm the administrative law judge for Midway whenever they need a judge, and to help people with legal issues. I'm also a lawyer, so I do a lot of pro bono legal work on the way.
Steve.
Steve Stevens. I've been part of the committee. I wasn't one of the originals, but came on shortly after that. Very close. My wife and I have been here for 25 years. I feel fortunate that we landed here, for sure. What else to say?
Tell them about your CAPS work.
I got associated with CAPS. Anybody know what CAPS is?
Yep.
I know you do.
I know.
Center for Advanced Professional Studies. It's a experiential learning program that we do with high school juniors and seniors, primarily.
You're a doctor, a retired neurologist.
I'm a retired doc, yep.
Debbie Farrell. We bought here 11 years ago. Fortunately, we retired here 6 years ago. Moved here from the East Coast. Enjoying our Midway life. And I've been on this committee for a while, listening to all this wonderful stuff.
And you were president of the HOA?
President of the HOA up at Swiss Oaks Condominiums and administrative assistant for 25 years in Connecticut.
Ms. O'Toole.
I am Nancy O'Toole. I'm the grant writer for Wasatch County. My background is environmental engineering. That helps me with the technical reports and writing and stuff like that. I raised my son in Heber, left, went to Montana, then went to Maine, and then came back here. And I've been here about 13 years.
There's one there, there's one there. I'll go grab another one.
Yep.
There's, I can grab a chair right here, Mike.
All right, we'll make sure they get in here. Here we go, real chat. You're back.
I'll take it.
Okay. Yes.
We're just introducing ourselves because we have some new guests here today. So can you take a breath, Brad, and let everybody know what you were doing 3 days ago today.
I actually, this morning, just got in. I was in, where am I? Geneva this morning. And we just got in a few hours ago, and we've been in Switzerland, France, and Italy the last week doing the Tour de Mont Blanc. Has anybody done that here? The tour where you just walk around the entire Mont Blanc there? Unbelievable. Just absolutely incredible mountains and landscape. And I kept thinking, you know, the Swiss people that discovered Midway must have spent too much time on the plains that it must have been such a distant memory that when they got to Midway, okay, that's kind of
close enough.
Close enough. And it's just spectacular there. It's just beautiful country. Had a great trip. Been there about almost 3 weeks over there, so.
And Brad has been president of Preserve Midway, and so they are our natural allies. We have done a fundraiser with them, and they have contributed money to various projects. And we are talking about how to help them and help us, and if we need to have more of a legal relationship, and going through that. So this next year, that'll be one thing we have to address.
Great.
And move forward. Kate,
okay,
please.
Yeah, I'm with the Sunlight Land Conservancy. I'm the VP of Conservation and Legal Counsel. Been with them for quite a long time. We're a land trust. We're based in Park City, but we serve Wasatch County, Summit County, up into Morgan, up into Weber County, a little bit in Salt Lake County. And we're on easement number about 67 right now. We... I can't remember the acreage. I'm not very good at numbers, you know, but we work with landowners who are looking to do conservation easements. We do some. Sometimes they're donated, but often it's bargain sale transactions where we're bringing in federal money and state money and money from open space bonds, of course.
So. And you had a very successful fundraising event
a week ago. Yes, we did great. The Blue Sky Bash was it's astounding how much people... support and that's what keeps our lights on and keeps us going. I think we're up to a staff of about 11 or 12 full-time people right now, and lots of fun projects.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, local resident here in Midway, been here 15 years. I've been practicing real estate and water law for 20 years, representing a lot of constituents across all over Wasatch back in Park City, and some of you know Timberlake's Water. I was their water attorney for many years, about 10 years, sat on the board there. I was the only person that objected to Midway selling its winter water. That's one thing I'm famous for. I was not happy about that, even though it did eventually sell. I wasn't a fan of that, and Steve Farrell and I had to cross arms for a minute, arm wrestle at the objection hearing. But it was, but I'm a big proponent of Midway and what Midway stands for, and here to propose something that hopefully you're all are interested in.
What are we doing?
Just introducing yourself because we got some new people.
So I'm Stephanie Sanator. I've been with the group probably about 3.5 years now. Yeah. About 3.5 years. I love it. It's an amazing group. I've never seen so many dedicated people that are committed, not only in the group, but also in Midway, that are dedicated to preserving land. It's just, it's amazing to watch.
Hey, you guys.
And I'm just so happy to be part of it, and I thank everyone here.
There's one thing that makes you happier, though, and that happened a week ago.
It's happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow, which is?
I'm buying a single-family home.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay.
I'm so happy I'm going to be out of the HOA. Some of you know how important that is to me.
Good for you.
So I'm very happy about that.
We're just introducing ourselves briefly. Jared, can you introduce yourself and
sure
your
thing.
Time and what do you do here in the Valley?
Sure thing. I'm Jared Neal. I don't know how long. It's probably been 6 years on open space committee. I teach at the brand new Deer Creek High School.
Cool.
Cool. Design. It's been a really fun adventure opening that up in the last few weeks. It's good.
Every
day is a little different.
Okay.
We're getting there.
I would suggest this. None of you have been to see the new school.
Yeah.
Please go look at it. It's phenomenal.
Oh, my God. I appreciate it.
Can we go any further?
I would say the best time is probably after school.
Yeah.
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 Go at, like, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
They'll have you sign in and be a visitor, but, yeah. Anyway,
okay.
Anything else?
Thank you. No. Katie?
Hi, I'm Katie Bellani. I used to be on the Open Space Committee for many years, and then I worked for the City of Midway and was one of the liaisons to the Open Space Committee for many years, and now I'm a member of the public coming because this is
great. And where do you drive to each day?
I drive to Salt Lake to the AG's office because I do consumer protection for the fraud unit. So I do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
At work. We're missing her here very much.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Glenn?
Glenn Lent, and I live here in Midway. I have 10 years, so it's good. We're up in the north end of town, and maybe a little bit of the black sheep of the family, I guess, here.
Is that why you're dressed?
Just being, no. But I do a little bit of development as a living, and so... I guess I bring that insight to this group, and you know, I live here. I want to see some open space, and I'm not afraid to ask developers for open space. So if they have vested rights, and anyway,
good.
That's my pitch.
Well, let's get rolling. Thanks, everybody. Let's see, can I get a motion to adopt the minutes from our folks who received the email? Melissa Jones is our administrative assistant, so if you need to talk with her, she's anxious to get to know us all better. I invited her to come to tonight if she could work it out, but hopefully you'll have a chance to get in to see her as she gets more familiar with all the committees and all the activities. So, can I have a motion?
Go ahead.
I move that we accept the minutes.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'm going to hold our public comments because we're actually have an agenda item for Jared. Michael, could you, this is an interesting thing that you went through last night. This is about the town square. I've had a couple of people. I was on that study committee. And last night, the city council reviewed the 55-page document, plus or minus, with all of the graphics about what to do and where to go with the town square here. And it was a very serious effort. There were some dollars spent hiring companies to help us put that information and data together, and there were some priorities that were laid out. And you can imagine the common interest that everybody had in transportation, preserving green space, getting something done with the ice rink location that is more serviceable year-round and more beneficial year-round, the costs, and that company, and I forget, Michael, the initials for the...
IBI.
IDI, yeah.
Yeah.
They did a very nice job, and I would encourage you all to go to last night's meeting and look in the documents component and at least familiarize yourself with what was presented, and I have no insight as to what happened last night, but this is the beginning of a much needed push, and if I'm summarizing this correctly, the grant that we received to begin this work, the clock is ticking.
Yeah,
and we can you explain that part of it, please?
Yeah, and I can, and Nancy can explain it even better. She's the one who got the grant for us. Who did all the heavy lifting on that one. So we received $600,000 that needs to be used towards a structure, some type of building, and we need to spend at least $600,000 to be able to keep that. But the clock is tipping, a match for that one, 50%. So we're looking at some type of a building to support the ice skating rink. And so council's got to decide here pretty quick what that's going to be. We made some progress last night on moving forward. We're making a decision for that. So we've got a committee that's formed, and they're going to make a recommendation to the council. But this is the overall master plan that IBI put together back. We started in 2021 and presented to council in 2022. But the idea is to really create this gathering plaza for Midway. We've got a nice town square, but there's things that we can do better with it. Right now we've got parking right down the middle of the town square. That's very valuable space to have as a parking lot. We obviously need parking, but we'd want to move it over to the side or even off-site. So that's one of the main things. You can see there's a promenade or the sidewalk that goes north and south, and then one that goes east and west. And right now you walk north and south across the square, and you're walking through a parking lot, and then you get on a little sidewalk, and there's two 90-degree turns. It could be a lot better. We want to emphasize the different uses. For instance, we've got the rink. Number four in the middle would be this multi-purpose area where food trucks could come in and have hookups there, and that would be a great support for any activities that we've got. Possibly redoing the community center, so that's the old church in the center where we have our council meetings, into maybe even a whole new building. So that's one thing that IBI presented to us for us to consider. But you can take a look at this, and this would help us really maximize the use of the square, and that would help businesses around the square once we draw in more people and have more events. So there's a bunch of different drawings here. This is a phasing plan that we've looked at. So it would take a number of years to do this. It wouldn't happen all at once, that's for sure.
And our committee felt this was really a smart way to approach it, rather than saying, here's the cool thing and it's going to be $35 million, break it down into A's, B's, C's, and begin to move forward as opportunities present themselves or things change and maybe something wasn't needed, the grants, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we thought it was really a very wise opportunity. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So just some of the renderings that IBI produced for us that we've been looking at, and council does not need to follow this plan directly, so that's kind of the idea. Is we adopt it in general and then make adjustments as we move forward. But you can see there's benches, for instance, when you come to the square now, there's not a lot of places you can sit down. And there's not a lot of shade, actually. And the shade that we do have is under a bunch of pine trees that drop a lot of sap. So we need to come up with something a bit better than that. But this would create that community gathering space that we're looking for. So pretty exciting. We're hoping that we can have some decisions made soon and move forward with it. So that's our goals.
I meant to, real quick, if you could, because I know the other two committee members on the council, if you could copy me with the progress on the building plan or whatever for me to look at and give input from my background. So.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll get that to you. Okay.
Katie, anything on this? You remember? Okay.
No, thank you.
I'd just like to make one comment.
Yes.
Thank Michael and the mayor for involving the students in this getting their input. I think that they really enjoyed it, and I think they really got to see how things work within the city. So thank you guys for doing that.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us. I thought that was a great activity.
Yeah. I would just more broadly even say we love Midway City for help. Much and how often and how well they work with our students, especially at CAPS.
Yeah, it's a great partnership.
Okay, if you have any questions, Michael can answer those later.
Let's see. One thing to report on
is go ahead.
We have been working with the Chem Gardner property, with Chem on the Chem Gardner property, so I'll bring up the map here real quick.
been a tent down there. Is that their piece?
That's for
parking.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
So
just like we've got at River Road.
Yeah, yes, Kim deeded us the property on South Center, the 43 acres just north of the railroad tracks, but the conservation easement for the 35 acres or so over here at the end of Main Street, right there. Kim did sign that conservation easement just last week. We're very close on getting it recorded at this point. So if you remember, we donated $1 million towards the conservation easement as a city on that property, and then he gifted it back to us. But we haven't had the easement recorded yet, but we're very close for that to happen. It's not finalized yet, but it's very, very close. And it looks like there will be more acreage that will be part of a future conservation easement in this area, so quite a bit more, even almost triple the size of what he's done. So we're moving forward there. So he's a very great friend of Midway. That's what it comes down to. Yeah.
It's a great place to hike and take your dog by the Snake Creek River. It's so much fun over there.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, if you have any questions, get a hold of Michael. And is there anything for Swiss Days, Kevin or Michael, that we'd want to know? Same old, we got lots of good activities coming along, and everything seems to be rolling well.
Yeah, I think they're ahead of schedule out there right now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Good.
I've looked at Portland. I've never seen it done this quick.
Yeah.
Can I add one thing to the South Center Street property that I was going to let everyone know? I talked to, through Leslie Crump, who's our USU Extension agent in the Valley. He contacted Jake Collette, who is another USU Extension person somewhere else. We were pitching the idea to get a USU class, environmental design, or like a botanical garden design, or there were a couple different classes, to take this on as a class project, to kind of work through some design options. I was hoping to come back and say this was happening this semester, but Jake's kind of gone quiet, so I haven't heard anything on that. But there is that possibility that we have some USU students and a professor maybe putting some eyes on this and doing some design work.
I'm headed up there soon. If I can be helpful, I'll be on campus.
Sure.
So let's get together, and if I can weigh in on that personally up there, I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good. Anything else? Well, I was introduced by Glenn to Jared, three weeks ago? Sound right? And kind of in the spirit of what we have said we want to do this next few months, which is we've got the bond that was passed. We haven't opened it up yet. We've got some opportunities. We've got some things we're really interested in. But we're really at a position, particularly now, where we can look down the road and roll up our sleeves and see that what good we can do. And in this very, very interesting proposal that Jared had, I just thought this would be a really interesting place to start and to have a discussion about it. I think it's kind of magical the way that you put all this together. It isn't at all described as anything simple, quick, easy.
No.
I think we might have We might have enough momentum and muscle that we could be a factor in this. So what I would ask, if you'd let Jared go through his presentation, and we'll obviously have a Q&A session. I'm going to ask Michael to weigh in on some of the issues that have to do with this property area and begin to move forward. And that's one of the reasons I wanted Kate to be here tonight, was so that she could see from the very beginning maybe something that will be beneficial for us with partners to move down the road for the purposes of open space and Midway. So with that as an introduction,
appreciate that.
Can you move forward?
Yeah. So I got known in the community as the untangler of really complicated real estate deals. I'm the untangler of knots. So all of the projects I work on are multi-year. Give you an example. Zermatt Resort. It had plat problems. Nobody knew about it. We untangled that over an 8-year litigation. Right? It took a long time. A lot of community members to figure out how to do it right. Eventually got unwound, fixed, and Zermatt one day will be gorgeous in this community. Could be an open space play, by the way. But what this is the Heber Valley Special Service District in 1980 started a condemnation process to do their sewer. And they picked up through that 240 acres here in Midway, which is 7 separate parcels, and along with that, all of the water rights for that 240 acres. In a separate condemnation, they started the year after, they picked up 300 acres, where the hay fields are out on the highway. So the sewer from Midway and Heber comes here, and then they discharge it out onto the fields that makes zero money.
Across from the airport.
Across from the airport. Yeah. So they have 340 acres there.
And that makes sense. Everybody, you know, the big pivots that are out on so 189, that's what you're
talking 2.5 million gallons a day of sewer comes into our town, and it gets treated through the different ponds, goes under a pipe, shoots out, and then becomes the hay fields that we sell, and they basically break even on the hay sale. About 4 years ago, they did a bond to do a separate condemnation of another 200 acres to the south. That's separate property, not on this, but it's just below the sewer ponds where they exist in Midway. That ended up not going anywhere, but they do have $15 million that they did in a bonding to do that condemnation process.
During Can you quickly describe the partners?
What's that?
For the sewer work, the municipal partners?
Yeah, so the sewer district is a municipal entity that is, you've got the Wasatch County, you've got Midway City Mayor that sits on the board, you've got Heber City that sits on the board, you have Charleston that sits on the board, and then you have two public individuals, so it's a board of about 6 or 7 people. And what their job is to treat the sewer for all of our residents. And this whole conversation is two things that the sewer district, they know they've got to go mechanical. So these ponds were built in the 80s. They're failing. They will not meet capacity where Midway and Heber will go in the sewer demand. I don't know if you know where Jordanelle Reservoir is. Below Jordanelle, there's a separate sewer plant there as well. So all of the red ledges and upper development of Heber is supposed to be sending their sewer to Jordanelle's sewer district. They don't today. They still send it here.
Which is a mechanical system.
And theirs is a mechanical.
It looks like a barn.
It looks like a barn. It looks like a barn.
Yeah. Right? Small, under an acre.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
And so the sewer district today knows to meet future demand. So by 2030, this thing fails. 4 years from now. It will fail. So they know they've got to go mechanical. So that's the opportunity, is they know they're going mechanical. A request for proposal just went out by the sewer district to say, we need engineering input on what system do we need to meet the demand in 40 years from now. So they're already long-term planning. They don't know what that result will be from the engineering, but they know they got to go mechanical. So the opportunity here is we got 240 acres, or if you want to pick up more, potentially 500 acres at play here from an open space strategy, knowing that mechanical plants take up about 5 acres. That's it. That's the footprint. How do we do this? Right? And so that's what this is about, is you know they've got to go mechanical. This sits within the municipal boundaries of Midway City, the so current location.
Well, the palms aren't in the city limits right
they're,
now.
I think they're just right on the border.
Yeah, they're right here.
Right on that outside. Yellow border. Yeah.
Yeah, so our red line is. So they're just on the border. They're yeah. next to
so
us.
They're right next to us. Right. Mm-hmm. They're under a lawsuit right now by the neighbors for odor intrusion and nuisance. Mm-hmm. So this is also a public benefit mitigation strategy. Like, how do we help our neighbors get rid of this problem?
And it's right above the hamlet that we're talking about for open space protection perimeter. So that is another connection. And if you, I'm going to encourage all of you to drive down there and drive by that and get out and walk around and look at it. But bear in mind that it also connects with the hamlet and also with the federal property along the river. There's just so many potential partners and grantees and so on and so forth. It's the proximity is wonderful. So now go ahead with, okay, that's the easy part.
Yeah, maybe you want to go to the next slide. So what we have is there are kind of two sides to the coin. One is mechanical stays where it is in the current location. I don't love that as a citizen of Midway. It's too close to too much population. Where I would love it to go is where this type of infrastructure should belong, next to a highway. And they own 386 acres right there. Mm-hmm. There's the big rock pit that's out there. I mean, the mm-hmm. industrial infrastructure should be next to industrial infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so that's the proposal is work with them, be a seat at the table. We already are from the mayor's perspective, but from the open space committee is you have an opportunity to have a seat at the table, right? Make an offer. The offer could be contingent on them moving and some restoration. You don't even have to close until that occurs. So there's some things around that. If you go to the next slide, there's funding sources for this. One of the things that's great is they own a lot of water over that 500 acres. We could do some really interesting water reuse strategy around this, meaning we've got great golfing communities. We've got even a great Salt Lake play. We've got Deer Creek Reservoir. I mean, we could do some really great water strategy long term with this water if we do it right.
Such as?
Using the water to do the golf courses. We could do, there's winter water uses for Soldier Hollow. We can get Deer Creek some water that it desperately needs if you've driven by it lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So there is some interesting discussions around being smart around the water rights that the sewer district owns today. Today, they're just doing part. Mm-hmm. That's it. And they've got 1,500 acre feet of water. I mean, that's a lot of water that we could use for some things. Just looking at some other opportunities, right, is, you know, conservation funds, Great Salt Lake, we've got grant money, we've got...
Yeah, there's about four or five grants I can think of right off the top that we could...
Midway Open Space Bond can come in. We've got private cell leaseback money that would be... They would come up and say, we'd be in for a piece, right? I mean, let's get creative on talking to the financing sources when we do get our seat at the table and say... Hey, this is a $40 million relocation. We've already identified where that $40 million comes from. And they're ready to play ball versus increase of user rates. So the strategy I would propose would be come up with a financing strategy that is zero increase to the water users, to the sewer district rates, which you could do. You could do this if we structure it right.
Is the $15 million bond that you mentioned, is that
still there, part of sitting it? On their books?
Would that come off of 40, or that you're factoring that in to get to
no,
40?
No, I'm just saying. Okay. There's a, for example, 240 acres at current rate is far exceeds $24 million, even if you went at $100,000 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
Just right there, you're right? You do a ground lease along the 350 acres that's all industrial. Do a ground lease for 100 years to Costco or, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's some things that if we got smart around the use of that 500 acres, mm-hmm. we could find the money.
Is that $40 million include the cleanup of the ponds? Because it's going to take some money to clean that up and environmental and, okay.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, and to that point,
yeah.
I mean, this is going to take a real serious effort about, A, what the rehab of that is, and then what's going to be done. And right. that's part of what we were wanting, is that let's mm-hmm. have open space be a big part of that topic before other options come in, and knowing that we likely would have a whole bunch of neighbors who are super excited about this as opposed mm-hmm. to what they got now.
Well, the other thing is you've got the highway corridor. That gets approved, you've got a whole bunch of highway corridor funding that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add?
If it gets approved.
What makes so much sense is basically relocating it to a smaller, you know, obviously the chemical mm-hmm. site's going to be smaller there, and that location is more kind of an industrial location and frees up property right up against Provo River.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Exactly.
Pristine.
Yeah.
You keep it pristine, which is what this committee...
In hindsight, the location of it there is the wrong location.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was convenience.
Yeah. Back then.
Right? It's convenience.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought with it is that, you know, it's the water rights. It's the Great Salt Lake Trust. It's, you know, leasing the water. Do that. Bring the money to the transaction through the water. And then maybe you don't have to mess with the, you don't have to sell.
You don't have to sell any.
The
right.
ground along the river for housing. You could
right.
let it be, mm-hmm. I don't know, mm-hmm. is it recreational mm-hmm. trails? Is it fishing? I don't know. How long does it take
is
to
it
clean
still
up?
Ponds? I don't know. Keep it ponds.
Mm-hmm. Nicer ponds?
Nicer ponds.
Nicer ponds.
Waterfowl ponds. I mean, right? Like, this could turn it. I mean, it's 200 acres of ponds.
Yeah.
There are a lot of birds down there right now, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
That place
I need to
has
see
a lot
it.
Of birds.
Yeah.
But, like, how gorgeous would that
Look up it's called Utah Watershed Restoration Initiative. I don't know if you've heard of that. That would be a really good one for building the ponds. What they do is it's a federal grant. And you're allowed to spend the money to restore the watershed. And this would be considered a watershed area. And so that would be...
I'd love to work with you on that.
I'd love to. Anything that I believe, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm 100% in.
A little piece of background around this is there are two reports that were done by engineers of the ponds leak.
That might be a big issue. I know.
And... is that what's causing problems downstream? So those reports are out there. They're public.
Really? I'd like to.
Oh, yeah.
Where can I get those?
I'll get those to you.
Would you? Because I would love to read them.
And so that could be part of this watershed initiative is we already know that there are scientific reports out there around this. We do have an active lawsuit around the odor and the nuisance. So.
Did they mention organic carbon at all? Okay, because that's we're really curious on the watershed where that's coming from. We cannot figure out where that organic carbon is coming from. So that's I knew that they leaked, but I didn't know if they leaked significantly enough over time to impact that. That'll be interesting to read. Okay,
let's go around the table. Let's go ahead, Michael. Your first thoughts. Your kind of view at 10,000 feet and thinking about the planning and the components. All that. This is going to be simpler, quick and easy. What are your initial thoughts about the whole thing?
Yeah, I think that the river is kind of the gem of the valley.
Yeah.
And if we can preserve that corridor, mm-hmm. and you know, the federal government's already came in and put a bunch of money into it to restore it back to, you know, a more natural route, this would be picking up property next to the river, which I think is important. I think it's important to try to preserve that. We'd love to get a trail up the river. You know, we've got this 300-mile trail that goes through multiple counties. This could be a piece of that. So if we can make it work financially, it makes sense to switch over to a mechanical plant. Now, I'm not an expert on any of this, but it seems like, you know, communities, as they get bigger, they do switch from the ponds to a mechanical plant at some point. That's just kind of a natural progression. Yeah, funding's important, and it would be nice if we could conserve as much of it as possible. So so that would be great. You mentioned going from 240 to maybe 500 acres. Would that be the 200 acres south that you're talking about?
Along the highway.
Oh, the other HVSSD property.
Right.
Okay,
like what? Perfect. They only need to own as much as the mechanical plant.
None of the water from the current ponds can go into the Provo River because it's not treated to a high enough level.
Right.
With a mechanical plant, it can.
You could.
And so that would be really nice. They won't need to. You'll see them watering those fields next across from the airport in October when nothing's growing. They're just getting rid of water.
Yeah,
is what they're doing.
Because they got to get rid of it.
Yeah. So that's what that land's there for, is to get rid of water. But it can't go into the Provo River right now. So
Glenn just goes into the aquifer instead.
Yeah. It does. Theoretically, it doesn't go into the river.
No, when Jared and I first talked, it was a little bit different than what we've done, because normally we have a landowner coming and saying, hey, you know, I would like to explore these opportunities. So it's a little bit different, but I think it's completely appropriate. I think it needs to come from the city, and I think the city needs to say, hey, we would love to do this. We don't know what your plans are, district. But we would love to be part of this, and we've got all the resources to, you know, make it happen if we need to, essentially. So I mean, you can't beat the location, and I think it'd be great, it'd be amazing.
Kevin, like I said, I love the idea and the concept, and I think it's the best thing for Midway. Understanding that the board is composed of more than just Midway, the uphill forces that we're going to be dealing with in terms of, you know, the land value and wanting to utilize it and sell it off and, you know, maximize its value, et cetera, which would work against it. So there's going to be some strategy there to...
Well, you've got one big proponent on the Heber side where they are pushing. The reason they don't want to go mechanical is because of open space.
Really?
They want to preserve the farm.
Exactly. That's the 300 acres?
The 300 acres.
Yeah. Okay.
That is already, if you go listen, and I've been at several Heber Valley district meetings, the big thing that why they don't want to go mechanical is two things. One, they think it's going to cost $100 million. I don't think it's going to cost that, but cost is an issue. Right, and that increases the user rates. They don't want to affect user rates. Second is they want to preserve open space. They want that farm to stay open space. They haven't looked at the flip side of the coin. Like
they can still
you could have it all open space if you
want it. Yeah,
you only need 5 acres.
You only need five. Even if you needed 20 acres.
And you can make it look
like
a farm.
Yeah.
Well,
and somebody would farm it. With a conservation easement.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I agree. Yeah.
The open space argument is relevant. It's already on record. So I think if the timing of it is, lean into that.
Katie?
Yeah, I think there's so many positives about this. And moving it from its present location is a huge one, because I agree it's probably not what anybody would do now in terms of space. And I understand how it happens. So I think one of the biggest things is maybe to take the time so that we get it right this time and don't do things that, you know, 40 years from now, people say, why did they do that, right? And I think you're going to have some people, it's a little different from the Heber thing, but some people hear mechanical plants, that's going to mean more capacity, so more development. So are we going to go down this road and then all of a sudden the district's going to switch course and say, hey, we can make a lot more money if we sell this for development or things like that? So that's probably my biggest concern going down that road. But again, the people on that board are involved in the municipalities, and I think open space is kind of riding high right now, and I think people are realizing it's a limited commodity.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money in development too, so I never discount it. So that's the only thing that kind of jumps to my mind. Like,
okay, Jared.
I just echo what everyone else has said. I think building a coalition that is on board with this is obviously crucial. It's an incredible property as you walk back to Provo. And, like, I've often felt like I'd love to be able to cross that that fence, and wouldn't that be great if it was like open space there? So.
Well, you can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm far better. Nothing beyond that.
Wait.
Sounds like a no-brainer, but it's not simple.
It's not simple. Yeah.
But the best things in life
are. Well, you know, the Midway mayor is on the board, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where the idea starts and comes from.
Steve, you wanted to put in a rodeo ground down there. We had a little argument. It's animals. Are you reconsidering that after listening?
I wanted to open up to the agricultural folks and take their cows right across the river and back.
As many times as possible. He's speaker.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
I thought about this for a while. It was a way of being able to do that, but I had no way to figure out how that would ever happen. So thank you
For being on the panel.
That's great. Thanks, everybody around the table here. Just as an aside, Jared noticed that we actually did some sampling of the Provo River about 5 years ago at CAPS, and did it for a number of years and found out that it was getting contaminated, despite what everybody was saying.
There's
some high school kids figuring this out.
Yeah.
But no, which we could do at that time. So this is great. It's exciting.
Brad, coming off your Bavarian Alps high.
I'm still kind of stunned. This is
See, the ponds would look like a lake of sun.
Lake Geneva.
Think of Tim just bouncing off those ponds.
My question really coming back to you, Mike, and I haven't heard anything in our years, but even all that land, you know, south of the sewage treatment plant, are those guys doing anything? There have been all sorts of crazy ideas proposed for the land south. There'd be a vision for that whole corridor,
There's not an application for annexation right now, so there's not any active plans at the moment. But I wouldn't be surprised if they submit something at some point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
There could really be a beautiful space over there.
Yeah, ditto, and all these wonderful ideas. Why is Timber Lakes not sending their stuff in the other direction, because of the
red ledges,
because the development that's going on around here in Heber is just tremendous. I can't believe it'll last another 6 years.
Infrastructure.
Take
to
it
get
over,
it there.
It is to get it there.
Let
that's
us
what
take
it is.
It off their hands.
The infrastructure is here.
My understanding is their approval from Heber. You know, they are required to switch over to that mechanical plant, and I'm not sure what the delay is, but they're beyond,
I think,
what the requirement is. They need to do it.
They don't have to. That's the point. They don't have to.
Nobody's forcing them to, and if we move it.
We're not 2030 yet.
Yeah, we'll fail before then with the amount of development around.
So they can contribute to.
I mean, the one step in the right direction was, and I think we had proposed that, is the requiring WilSER letters and to demonstrate that they do have the capacity rather than, because up until now, they've just been continuing without evaluating, do they have the capacity?
Yeah. And my understanding is they haven't done that study yet to determine the capacity.
Right.
And so.
If I interrupt and ask a question on this. So because they're looking at what the an estimate for a mechanical facility. It seems like now's kind of the right time to be bringing this to the board and discussing it. And at the same time, the estimators can figure that out for facility over there and the additional cost.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really excited about this. I would love to work with you on it. Once we get the property, I do have some grants that we can help get with the property and the watershed. But once we get the property, there's a really good grant that will pay to do a planning. So what they do is they come in and they do a lot of public charrettes, And they'll sit down and they'll say, okay, what do you want for this property? What can we look at this and see and look at the topography of it and what makes sense? And get inputs from Heber, from, I mean, everyone. I think this is a big, huge thing for everyone. And once it gets that, it's a really good grant to do that, because then we hire a consultant, we hire an engineer, and part of the money goes to, you know, getting out to the public and then doing some concept drawings and then getting another couple of charrettes out. I mean, it's a year process, but it's a really good process to do that. And then once we have that final drawing and the initial design, that's where the grants kick in, where we can come in and start designing and what we want to do and phase it, just like we do the Midway Center. Let's phase it into areas where, you know, our matching funds will be the stuff that are eligible, and we can work it to where it won't cost us and we can at least pay for half of it. So there's a lot of grants out there right now that has really opened up to do something like this. This is exciting.
Good.
I'm
going to come back to you.
Yep.
Yeah. Thoughts, questions?
So, question. Can we fast track it and get it done in 4 years? I mean, is it possible?
Yeah.
I think so.
100%.
Okay. If we move and
Gordon, can I ask?
Please.
So, the property is owned now by the Heber Valley.
Heber Valley Special Services.
Is the concept that if they put the mechanical plant over on that other acreage by the airport, that Midway would purchase the 241 acres, that Midway would then be the title owner?
That's a good point.
The title holder. So we're not talking about we're not talking about a conservation easement and it's still owned by the HVSSD.
No. Bring it into the city.
But wouldn't you want a conservation easement? So
for the title is just like we did on these other things, so that another city council doesn't say, boy, could we put some nice development there?
Right.
So you know, those are just some of the complications to really preserve it as open space. But in that said, though, one of the things, HVSSD could still hold a title.
Still could hold title.
And just put a conservation easement on it.
They could.
And you know, that may simplify things a little bit. It may be more palatable to them, so that, you know, from a public entity, when you start disposing of public property, it's the highest and best value, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. Mm-hmm. If they're not disposing of the property, if they're just stripping the development rights, which you're not going to develop it anyway if it's on a sewer pond. So, you know, that's free money that they get. Mm. So anyway, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I'd understood initially the property was purchased partially with federal funding, and that usually comes with some pretty strict.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, we ran into that on the town square, and so we'd have to work through that. If that's the case, I may be wrong, but that's what I'd heard.
I don't know if it was Land and Water Conservation or was it the USDA that funded it. I can't remember.
I
don't think it would. I think it'd be the USDA, because that's
so
one of the other ones.
That may be a tricky part.
Or it might have been a direct federal,
right,
because of the role of our two senators in the day with all the Wasatch backwater.
That's true.
That's where Jordanelle came from.
Yeah.
That's where a bunch of the river movement. We've talked about that before, and it might be just a direct, and here's what you can and can't do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your thoughts. This is all fresh and new.
It is fresh and new. Yeah.
And from an ABC point of view, where would you
great.
Start?
Okay,
where would you
yeah,
go?
I'm not quite at the ABCs for you, but I have some questions. You started to kind of bring it up. My first question was, who should be the ultimate landowner of these two pieces I see? Possibly more than two, you know, because you have the mechanical structure, and maybe it's a private landowner. Maybe it's a farmer that owns around there, and you try for the standard federal funding that we do. That brings some money into the transaction. Is it HVSSD?
Yeah.
They own the water rights now,
so you know, maybe they're the. I don't know if it's possible to lease to
Great Salt Lake Trust, getting it into the Great Salt Lake, if we can tap into that money, I'm sorry, yeah, that's the thought.
That's a good thought.
That's
no,
the thought
that's a really good
that
thought.
I have, if it's, if, yeah. it, if you can make the line, if you can get it to a reservoir,
mm-hmm.
you're sort of okay on
mm-hmm.
believing that it's getting into the Great Salt Lake, so
mm-hmm.
I think
we
it
got
does
one real
all.
Dang, real close.
Yeah, so I think it flows and there's nobody taking the water, it was metered enough between
yeah.
there and the reservoir. That's
mm-hmm.
you know, but it, but you know, who are the actors? How do you kind of, through the course of this transaction, there might be a whole lot of other good ideas for making money, more money.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we make sure that it, that
it
these water rights get sold for in-stream flow and not, you know, I don't love golf courses,
right.
obviously, not for golf courses.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just
but, you know,
great ideas,
sometimes.
Right?
No offense. You know? So, you know, and then, yeah, City of Midway, do you want to own the, I guess I don't know enough about sewer ponds, does it, could it ever potentially become a residential neighbourhood? Could
yes.
you fill it in? It could, right?
Absolutely.
You could,
right?
Yeah.
So you've got to recognise
mm-hmm.
those threats, and
yeah.
and then that curveball, is it actually federal land, and is it actually restricted already?
Yeah, I don't, it's not owned federally, it's just,
right.
If you take use federal funds to purchase it, then
there's
a lot of
is there. So that's actually
restrictions. So
that's really important because maybe it's not something that's actually super.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although the restrictions on the use might play into conservation, like it might actually help.
Yeah.
The restrictions on use.
Yes.
Yeah.
To give
yeah.
it the use you want rather than going out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially
sure.
if it's
yeah.
LDA or something.
Yeah.
Of course, the thing is, if you've got those sort of restrictions on the property anyway, the development rights become less and less valuable,
yeah. Yeah.
which decreases the amount of money that it's going to cost for the development rights.
Right.
So, and that may not buy a new mechanical.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But those are, I mean, those are just realities that that have to be dealt with moving forward. Seems
right.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually have a good precedent for part of what we're talking about here, and that is when, so you're on 40, you're coming south into the valley, and you're going over the bridge, and you look off to the ponds, hundreds of acres of ponds. That was a part of the agreement with the feds to create those ponds because Jordanelle was flooding all kinds of open space. It was put in, and that was part of the agreement with the Central Wasatch, whatever way. But if you pull off and look down there, you can see where the artificial dams are reintroduced, and the habitat there would be a real sales pitch to start with. And there's trails down there, there's other things that are going on, but it is a really good local example of what could be a fundamental part, knowing as the point you make when we make, you know, that it might be 150 acres is that, and then 50 acres has to be, something else has to be done.
Yeah.
You know, the Parks and Trails Committee would weigh in, and we need to have a, you know, a pavilion, and we need to have a ball diamond, or whatever the heck it is. That's part of our challenge as we begin to think through this. We're the Open Space Committee, and we're safe territory, from my point of view, talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just an interesting, positive set of thoughts. It's really following up with that. I think there's a research component.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's the planning grants, which have to be based on a need
Absolutely.
That we have
yep.
to solve, and in order to get a grant to do that.
Right.
The value of the water rights is going to be fundamental. That's a piece of law, a piece of research. And then the politics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the politics, you know, when do we begin a public discussion with the city council, i.e. with the mayor, with the other partners? You know, what are the 1, 2, 3, 4 steps to get us to first base so that we're on solid ground and advocating the unbelievable value of this and recognizing the work that you've put into it, but at the same time, as we all know, when that big P politics comes up, that's when things, that weren't anticipated become viable because we were too quick or we didn't have things set up correctly. We've all been in those kind of positions before. You know, I'm kind of thinking, just right out loud, I wanted to finish with some thoughts about what do we do next and what don't we do, because that's always so important to what many of you have thought about. My feeling right now would be that this research component, which is partly legal and partly the antiquity of what was passed when this whole thing was put together, what are the components of it? Because there may be something we need to know about that.
Yeah.
That's one set of questions. And then when is it appropriate, Kevin and Michael, to have a work session with your body and present to them not a bunch of thoughts or ideas, but some real solid things. I strongly feel in these kind of situations that we need to have a document that says, here's where we started, here's our mission, here's our goal, here's some artist renderings.
Here's our plan.
That we're just, take us seriously. Yep. We spent time and effort putting this together, and take the extra time to do it so that when your council opens it up, there's maps, there's language, there's two paragraphs of money, there's an awareness that this is real important to us.
Cortland, don't you think the landowner has to, landowner say, this sounds like a good idea, why don't y'all put together something?
Yeah, proposal.
We've always started with the landowner. Now, I understand this is a little different here because the landowner is not a private citizen, but they still hold the title to the land.
But that's back to the comment made earlier about the mayor being part
of it. Well,
starting that discussion.
My question is, who is this sewer district? I guess I don't understand. What's their goal? What's their agenda? Do they have to sell stuff at full fair market value? Can they accommodate for public benefit? And who are the people?
You know,
Drew. Who are the parts of that?
Yes, it's quasi-government entity. The county ultimately is the ultimate approver of anything the sewer district does. Wasatch County Council.
So, in that regard, I guess, in terms of, now this is getting into the details, both the ownership structure, you know, how that's split, as well as the votes, because that's going to tell us where we need to focus the attention.
Yeah.
And if, for example, the county does have a majority say versus, say, Heber, so I would say that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's similar to what you do here, right? You make a recommendation up to the city then takes a vote and then takes an action, similar to the sewer district. They have their board. There are certain things in their domain that they can just do, right? Do the sewer district activities.
Yeah.
Do what you're engaged to do, right? Collect money, take care of the water. When it comes to something that goes sort of beyond their operational authorities, yes, it goes up to the Wasatch
County Council.
So
county
the determination on whether and where to build a mechanical treatment.
The sewer
plant
district will make the recommendation and then take it to the county council.
So that's where we need to see.
Yeah,
this is
the mechanical plant. This is JSSD, another special service district, just below Jordan Hill Reservoir. So that's what that one looks like. There's Summit County.
But to go back to that, do we know what the ownership structure? It makes it sound like
the county council
that the county.
Well, the sewer district owns the dirt and the water rights on title.
Mm-hmm. The sewer district.
Sewer district.
Okay.
It's an entity that can own.
Who owns the sewer district?
Multiple municipalities.
It's made up of a board.
Right.
The board makes the operational decisions. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to government activity. So Wasatch County created the sewer district.
It seems like it is at one
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, Wasatch County.
Wasatch County, yeah. Just like any other special service district.
Could, you know, and I know this isn't the same. So like Heber Light and Power, it's 25%.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, this is
that's a regulated entity. Jordan L. Special Service District.
Okay.
Right? Same thing, right? The, the governing body through statute creates the special service district for that special service district purpose. The purpose of this is the sewer.
So does the county then ultimately own?
It's owned by the the board.
I think that special service district owns the land.
It has authorities under statute to do what it does.
Yeah.
But it has restrictions on what it
has. It has certain restrictions when it, like, here's your operational authority and all the statutory authority, and then it's like, okay, something bigger that goes beyond that, go back to who created it,
they can't decide they're going to sell it and split the money amongst the board and go buy brushes.
So basically the county has the
ultimate
say, regardless of what the board recommends.
But do you know what?
For example, the bond.
Yeah.
Right. They had to follow the bonding rules in the county, but they have the authority under statute to go get bonds, just like Midway City does.
Right.
But they had the authority to do that. They didn't go to Wasatch County and approve our bond. They had the authority to do that.
Can I make an observation? This is a little bit. I'm trying to figure out how politically we can do this easier. I'm a civil engineer by trade. You know, there's the reason the treatment plant is right there is
it's a low spot.
It flows downhill. Exactly. Gravity flows, so you find the lowest spot in the valley, which happens to be where all the water drains to, and you get a river. So that's the reason why it's there.
Yeah.
For us as Midway residents and stuff, we know that area might be impacted. It might need reclamation. That's our ace in the hole a little bit, you know.
Significant.
It's going to need.
If we honed in on just that piece and kept the other stuff over by the airport, you guys do with that whatever you want and your water rights. Let us hone in on that. We might have a better argument.
I would even lock arms with Heber City. You want your open space? So do we.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Heber City, go get yours. You have 350 acres to go get. We want the 240.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think.
I mean, it might be that we have to treat it sure. it there. That would save a lot of money as opposed to having to pump it back over there. You'd have to do a lift station. You have to do all that. But, I mean, you can see it doesn't look that bad. I mean, it looks like a barn. Most people wouldn't even realize it's just a barn.
It is. Out in the middle of a hayfield.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
It is. Substantial savings.
Yeah. As opposed to adding another $20 million to pump it back and lift stations and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some, when HBSSD was created, weren't the component municipalities, I mean the founding ones, didn't they have some ownership interest? I think it's more than just the county, is my recollection.
Yeah.
I haven't looked this up, but, and I just did an AI thing that just says under Utah code, but it's not telling me the code. While the district operates independently on a day-to-day basis under a general manager, certain major fiscal actions, levying taxes, issuing debt, holding district violations, require the formal backing and approval of the founding local government entities. And I thought there was a common, like, I think if we go back, I don't know.
How do we find
never really looked at
the
court.
We find you got them already? We have them already. You know what it is.
I know when it was created, there was a sewer plant over in Heber, and then we had one over by our public works yard down off of 850 South, and we combined those together, and the county was the controlling factor of that. But we combined both of them together, Heber and Midway, at that point in time.
Okay.
So, but I don't know ownership-wise what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either.
You know, I have a proposal. Just a general proposal. First, I would hope we can meet on October 7th, if we can meet a month from now. You know, we entered into this meeting every other month, but I'm feeling some energy here, and I would think it might be wise that we meet on October 7th. So that's a proposal. If I could ask you to could you craft an outline that adds some depth to what you got here and what we have learned about the steps that we might want to take initially. So we're not talking about what this is going to look like in terms of open space, if it's going to be cattle or if it's going to be standing water, what it's going to be. We're talking about getting to that next step. If I could ask you guys to put together some thoughts about that.
Okay.
If I could ask you to work with him and
absolutely
come up with some...
Yep.
Some grant possibilities.
I am
and
in my head
and what
already.
They're putting in there, what might be the doors
yep
that would open,
mm-hmm,
and whatever. And then maybe you two, if I could ask you two to talk about the political connections and how we might want to move forward after this October meeting, and what would be the footprint that we would want to leave leaving that meeting. What would we want to say more clearly than we have here? But it's imperative we get a connection and have some confidence in that relationship, that we're building trust. I guess it's along the line of not putting a lot of time and effort into something until we know what the barriers are going to be, and then addressing that straight up front with Heber City and the county, it sounds like, and what we might want to do or what we might want to think about. And then, Katie, if there's anything that comes to mind to you around some of the fiscal issues that you're able to put a little bit of time on, could I get you and Brad to work on that?
Mm-hmm.
And what doors open, what doors close, what are some things that we maybe have not... We have to have some understanding of in order to move forward.
Right.
What are they? And then if I could ask you, Kate, can you, as you think and reflect on this, and if you could send us some comments and come to our October meeting,
sure,
and be able to, with the goal in October of having at least a 3-month, if not a 6-month game plan, so we know what we're doing in what order and what we're trying to get done. Does that strike a chord with you, Michael, of being the right things in the right order?
Yeah. Sounds good. We'll set up that meeting on October 7th. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I add, maybe that's part of what you were suggesting here, is understanding any type of restrictions, you know, going way back when this was first done, is going to have
huge effect on
a huge effect,
yeah,
yeah, one way or the other.
I agree.
I think we need to understand that, and then I'd still like to know a little better, the more detail of the, call it the ownership structure, so we know
how to navigate.
It's a subdivision of the state.
That's what I'm thinking.
It is, you're right.
It's a subdivision.
It looks like it, yeah.
Which is pros and cons.
Right? Yeah.
Because if it is, then it's really hard to get grants, so we have to do it in a different way. So it's...
But
the sooner we have that
information, the better we know the direction to go.
My daughter wanted to throw a note in. Do we need to meet with the manager of that facility? Is where does that, if any way, come into play about what he or she is thinking about in terms of energy going into this new system? And do they have some insight about what the timing might be for moving ahead with something?
That sort of thing would probably be helpful, but remember that the function of the special sewer district is to treat sewer, not to preserve open space.
Right.
You know, that's where they go to work in the morning. That is their focus.
Yep.
And the most efficient way they can do that is their primary goal.
Yeah.
And
good point.
So you anything you pitch to them, you know, it's got to not interfere with treating the sewer, or you're dead in the water.
Michael, is West still the engineer for HVSSC?
He's the civil engineer. Is what he does there.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So he would know about capacity and what kind of time schedule they're on.
So he's just a civil engineer, so I don't think he would be part of the capacity part.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's, okay.
Yeah. Though he goes to a lot of meetings over there, he probably knows quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This doesn't answer it directly, but, and again, just AI stuff, but it says the district's balance sheet carries its own assets and its own government equity. A September 2025 balance sheet, for example, reported approximately $36.5 million of total equity. So it separately tracks things such as impact fees, contributed plant additions. So it's acting like it actually, I mean, if it's sitting on its balance sheet, it's probably owned by the entity itself. But then you got to go back to like this 1977 resolution that was put together through the county, but it looks like somehow Heber, Midway, County were all part of it. So if we could find that document.
Yeah.
I think there is a document.
Is everybody okay with what we're wanting to do in this 6 months?
Okay. Have you guys, in all of your preservation work, ever placed a conservation easement on land that was owned by a local government entity?
Yes.
So the city council of Midway said...
Yeah.
Oakley.
City of Heber. We have the park. The city of Heber owns that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that happens very frequently. That's fine.
One last request, Michael. If you could make sure everybody's got everybody's email and phone number, so if a phone tree starts and you want to find out something,
we'll get it to you.
And I think we need to be quiet, but if asked, particularly by somebody with the city, I guess. Yes, we are interested in this, and punt to next month. We don't want to be cute about that, but I think it would be worth our while if we know a little bit more about some issues and a lot more about a couple of these before we move ahead. Yes.
Did you go to the county yet, or Heber, or are we?
So I have met with Michael Johnston, who sits on the board, and
Heber City.
He's with Heber City, and I just took a pulse of how many votes would approve going to mechanical. There's one nay, Heber City. Yep. You can imagine who that is. There's only one person that would say nay. All on the board currently know they have to go mechanical, and all would vote yes if what's being proposed from their RFP that's out, the request for proposal for the engineering study, is in favor of going mechanical.
So the legislation for Special Service Districts Act says for purposes of this chapter, the owner of the real property is the fee title owner according to the records of the county recorder.
So it'd be in recording.
Yeah, the sewer district on title.
Sewer district on title.
On title at the county recorder and at the Utah State Water Rights Division.
Yeah.
Heber Valley Special Service District is the title owner of these.
Right.
Land rights and water rights.
Yeah, and they can transact as a fee title. I know the Jordan Special Service District sold something to Deer Valley. Mm-hmm. I was sort of involved in that peripherally, around the mining thing structure. So they act like a normal sort of
landowner. But they are a body corporate in politics, a
quasi-municipal
corporation, and a political subdivision of the state.
My God, well,
they're kind of everything.
Yeah. Absolutely bad.
Yeah, right?
Jared, do you know if anyone has kind of taken that pulse on the county level with anyone?
So I asked Michael, because he knows all the county commissioners as well. He believes he can... He's a big proponent of this.
Yeah.
He thinks there would probably be one nay there as well, which is probably the railroad.
Oh,
which was interesting.
Why would Mark say no?
I don't. It was weird. I didn't get why he said that, but that was the one he thought would say no.
I'm kind of curious about that too, because he's pretty positive about open space.
Who raised that?
When I talked with Michael Johnston, he said we might get a no from Mark.
And I
didn't go into detail. I was just taking a pulse.
I don't see him saying no. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. I met with him twice the last month.
Yeah,
I don't know why he said that, but I didn't get that.
If he's keeping it to himself, I can see that may have been something that Johnson read, but I
don't know. It has to do something with the railroad tracks, or right? Like
Jared, who's the legal counsel for the sewer district?
It's the Wasatch County.
Wasatch County attorney.
They do have special counsel for the bond and for the condemnation that they started. They hired separate special counsel for those.
Yeah.
Issues, but they're not active today, in the sense they're not regularly.
Yeah, because obviously on something like this, one of the they're going to turn to the lawyers and say, "Well, what do you say?"
But it's going to be the Wasatch County Attorney.
Okay.
That's
good to
know. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll one step at a time. We really appreciate you bringing it forward and having documents and having been through this and. I think you opened up by saying your skill is
untangling.
Untangling. we may need
to do a good job because we're pulling one little thing at a time.
Yeah.
That's the expertise of the collective.
So thank you. And communicate among each other as we move forward. So, and if you two feel we need to do something with the council, just to let them know, we're more than willing to do that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we had little time to prep, though. Okay.
Yeah.
And I hope you move fast so the developers don't move faster.
Well, exactly.
I think, once we have kind of like a initial kind of concept or plan or whatever, I would suggest, in a work meeting, we present this to Midway Council. And I can tell you, I think we would have 100%.
Okay.
I have to cancel.
So that might leave open if we have to pull something together quickly, just for all of you to be aware, because that's the way things are moving.
Get Midway City Attorney.
Yeah.
Maybe drafting an LOI.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Good. Kate, can you bring us up to speed on what you guys have been working on and give us? A summary of some of the stuff you celebrated at your two events here in the last couple months?
I'll just paint you a picture of how things are. Things are, as I said, we do projects where we purchase conservation easements, we use federal funding. Of course, there's been a lot of upheavals in federal funding. We had some really, bad news. We had our $21 million grant terminated that we had for the Camas Meadows, and then I've appealed it, and I sort of won administratively, but nothing's happened with it anyway. But so waiting to figure that out, but we're doing well on actually new applications. We've had some success there with some projects funded. I actually got obligated two parcel contracts today totaling $15 million for two projects in Summit County. So,
yay!
Just the first step,
I know, but it's still...
something. We're sort of winding our way through with closings. I just thought I'd give you a little update. Last time I was kind of here in this room, a long time ago, we got together on the Mountain Spa project over there. And from our perspective, it's been an interesting ride in stewardship. We had two conservation easements there with defined building envelopes. And we've had somewhat of a parade of potential buyers. It's excellent because they've been calling us while they're under contract and before they've bought. Mm-hmm. And the one on Mountain Spa, I think it's three or four times. So we've entertained requests for, can we shift the building envelope? Mm-hmm. Can we build a big fish pond? Can we put a shed right in the front? We really want to shift that building envelope.
And you're talking about the piece that's for sale.
I'll kind of blend my comments on both of those Bergie Lane properties and the Mountain Spa properties together? Can we shift where the access driveway is? Mm-hmm. Can we do, you know, not native vegetation there? Can we landscape the whole thing? It's interesting, you know, the restrictions through the conservation easement that this group developed. You know, the stewardship, you know, the requests that I've had from potential buyers just kind of let me know that, you know, they're real restrictions. So mm-hmm. Nice job, us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll update you on that. Our other project we have with you is the golf course, the homestead that's kind of stalled right out. You know, I think I don't know if you've got anything.
City Council did grant an extension on recording that conservation easement, but I can't remember exactly what that. Do you remember that deadline, Katie, that it was extended to? I think it's by the end of this year sometime that it's supposed to be recorded.
I feel like it's October-ish.
I think it's October. I was going to say, and I think it might be the beginning of October.
I think it might be, too.
It's coming up. Yeah. So, we will get a conservation easement on this area of the golf course, so that's great.
So the stumbling block for them is that we can't record a conservation easement if there's a lien on it. There's a great big mortgage on this. So the onus then is on the landowner to, you know, do something different with collateral or subordinate the mortgage or something like that. So my understanding is
the attorneys
for
the homestead felt like they could get it cleared up.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they need Jared on the case.
We worked on an easement. I think it would still have to go by your actual mm-hmm. Midway City attorney. Like, we could jump and do it if that landowner becomes ready in a hurry, but I don't know.
They're required to do it, so it's going to happen, so we'll figure it out.
Okay, it either happens or it doesn't happen at all.
I was going to ask you if you could tell this group about your project up in Ogden Valley, the former monastery.
That one plays into some conversations that we've just been having about water leasing. That was it's around 1,000 acres, and it's this beautiful old monastery. You know, there's these fabulous photographs of monks from the 40s and everything like that. And the landowner, he worked with us. We brought in some federal funding. Most of what we use is NRCS money because it's agricultural land from the farm bill, and a significant donation of conservation easement value by the landowner. So we closed
that. And historic buildings.
Yeah, historic buildings. Yeah, in the middle there you've got, you've got this, you know, graveyard, really old, and workshop, you know, woodworking shop, and all these really neat buildings that are in the middle of the property. And it's just, it's on the edge of Huntsville. You know, Huntsville's going crazy mm-hmm. with its development, so it's significant, you know, open fields. And then, what's exciting is next to that, like bordering the monastery, we just closed on a property called Bailey Watts, which is the Byram family. So we closed on around 4,000 acres there, and I'm fighting really hard to close on another, you know, for 3,000 acres owned by that same family in Morgan County. So there's two, you know, you've got the rangeland, you've got the monastery, and then, you know, really proximate to the monastery, we've got two large rangeland properties that we've closed on, one last year and one, touch wood, soon, like next week. Right? And then we've had some donations in that area too. So this is all as your Trappers Loop Road, if you're driving, it's a snow base and it's all that mm-hmm. ground there. Oh, that's awesome. So, and there's more of that is owned by the snow basin than you think. Like off of Trappers Loop Road, mm-hmm. that's ski resort land. There's a mm-hmm. lot of developable land there, but we've got a real buffer with the monastery. But that was actually the first project where a landowner successfully leased water to the state for in-stream flow to the Great Salt Lake using funds. It was Audubon Society, Great Salt Lake Trust, Nature Conservancy. There's three entities, you know, so that's mm-hmm. funded by the state government, and you know that was a big deal because you got beneficial water use to the lake, a conservation use, and so and it was actually the landowner we worked with, his name is Bill White. He's not the restaurant Bill White, he's a different Bill White. And it was, you know, we drafted language in that easement before that existed that said, you know, the water rights are used for agriculture now, but they could, we could have a change application and have it, you know, go for a broader environmental good benefit. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things where some flexibility in the conservation easement, you know, it's not just about growing hay and alfalfa. You know, I'm going to do one less cut. I'm going to leave some water and dedicate that to the Great Salt Lake.
Excellent.
So,
yeah, very good. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for all you do. Thanks. Fun to be in this group.
Any questions for Kate?
No, yay.
We will be in touch.
Okay.
We will be in touch.
Yeah. We'll see you again.
Anything on Utah Open Lands? And there was an article in the Park City paper about progress being made on the heart of Midway. And they're seeking some more dollars to supplement what we have agreed to. Do you know any more about that?
They need $3 million. Is what they need.
Yeah. So the city council has approved $1 million towards the conservation easement.
Out of our
That's what our latest action has been. But they are seeking the rest of the money they need to make up the difference. I know the Mitchell Kissel property on North River Road, that's supposed to be recorded by the end of the year, so hopefully that happens, so that's good news. Let's see. Yeah, I know Wendy's just been working really, putting in a lot of effort with Kemp Gardner and the Gardner family properties, so that's where most of the effort's been going right now, so making progress there.
Good.
Any upgrades for the Lundin? I haven't heard any upgrades about them.
So my understanding is that was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a done deal. Yeah.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
wonderful.
Completely finalized. I haven't seen the document directly, but I've been told it's been recorded.
Well, the conservation isn't going to be
a really good
right
journal
away,
story.
Right? Because they have 3 years to look for their money.
Yeah, they are.
That's my understanding that all the agreements have been signed.
Yeah.
That is good.
I don't think there's recording, and I think money's changed hands.
Yeah, money's changed. Okay, but that's good. That's progress.
Yeah, it's a dumb deal.
So how about the two guys that have been to our last two meetings next to Indian Summer?
Yeah, I have not heard anything new on this property really since that last meeting. So Tyson Miller and his father-in-law, Bob. I'm trying to remember Bob's last name. So,
okay. Kate, would you check and see if for both the homestead and for the Amio, we need signs on the fence giving recognition and credit. We're going into the fall and we're going to have the winter, but we have been working on that for a couple of years.
I'm in my office.
And recognizing the partners, the acreage, and a statement, if you'd like a statement. And then I have talked with Utah Open Lands, that same thing.
Yeah.
I
think we may want to come up with a design for that's uniform for all the properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously having some land conservancy on some and Utah Open Lands on the other, but something that's consistent and so it's easily recognizable. So I think we can come up with some renderings.
So you want to signs actually on the properties or
on the fence,
on the Bergy Lane and on the mountain.
Yeah.
And then we've got one that's hot pots. It's not rare. We're looking in my office today.
Yeah.
But it's just in my office. It's like this is in my office. It's not doing much there.
And our discussions before have been it's as much for the walkers and the bikers and the curious who will stop and read something as opposed to a visitor who's driving by and sees Midway Open Space.
Right.
There's two different audiences, but I think I speak for the group that we felt that for like a weekend like Swiss Days, you know, there'll be thousands of people walking around, and we need to do a better job of telling what we have done over the last 8 years.
Okay.
So if you could, again, bring that up, and if you want to work with Michael and get that done, we put a lot of work into it at one point, but we'd like to get you taken care of as well as we can. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
I will.
All right. Steve, anything from Wasatch County you want to share with us?
I think the only thing that we had as part of our discussion was, brought up by a member from the county, is should there be a limit before of the spending or the funding before it revolves back to the county? Yes.
Do you explain that?
So, so should there be a time limit? That's the bottom line of it.
Like you said.
So they say, okay, we're going to fund $3 million for X property.
A deadline to use it.
Is there a deadline that should be placed that that money be used, or it reverts back to the open fund? And the question is...
And I think the answer to that is yes, is up to the political council to set it on a case-by-case basis and extend it when necessary, as we have done.
Kind of
I mean,
I think that's part of it, but I also think that we should be asking the folks who are working with us what kind of a limit would work. Should it be 2 years? Somebody threw out 2 years, somebody threw out 3 years, somebody threw out 4 years.
You see, it depends on when you come and ask, right? So sometimes you could come and ask before you've even put a federal application in or before you've got it, or sometimes the ask can happen when you actually have a parcel contract, a commitment from the Fed, okay? If you've got a commitment from the Fed, if you've got a contract in hand, yes, there are a lot of things that could go wrong, you know, on the due diligence process. It can be such a mess, and it can delay, but you've at least got your other funding. So it's a question of like whether you want to be a last money funder, come in last, or whether you want to come in first and encourage the other funding
and help with the
That's a strategic decision that, that you kind of make.
When you come to us, that's why it's got to be a case by case.
You know, because you may need 3 years, you may only need a year.
You might, or you know, it depends on how much competition you have for the funds. Also, you know, I'll relate to my experience with the Leray McAllister Fund. It's you know, the state fund where they'll have you know, that's a small pot of money, like $1 million or something like that. And then sometimes they'll have $13 million worth of applications. And so that's kind of part of their ranking criteria. It is, or it kind of should be, like, who's the most real, you know? Who's really going to close? Sometimes the question shouldn't be, okay, what's the most spectacular, beautiful, amazing property that we want? It could come down to, okay, do we want to spend this? Do we want to spend this within a year or two? Who's most likely to get it spent within a year or two? And it might not be your bright, shiny, pie-in-the-sky, amazing one. It might be the one that's really well contracted and really solid on its obligations.
What the county's trying to do is decide how long will they hold on to those funds before they commit it to somebody else.
That's the
bottom line.
That's the decision that they're trying to make.
I thought the original proposal for 2 years would not work. You guys,
so 2 years is 2 years would be the minimum.
Yeah.
You know.
If nothing goes wrong.
But if nothing goes wrong. I don't know. If I come and ask, often I go and I ask when I've got the federal contract, and then I can do it within 2 years pretty easily.
So that I think that brings to the point is that we need to ask you guys what works. Not make up some
arbitrary
number.
Exactly.
At the time. So
bad idea.
So we're going to ask you to come and talk to us.
Okay.
Does it make sense? and come up with some kind of proposal that will work, that will satisfy the county and satisfy your needs.
Okay. Anything else, my friends?
No.
Anything else? Well, thank you all for coming. I get a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Well done. Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Yay.
Exciting.
Yes. Yeah. I was waiting when something's happened. Good, right?
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
I love it. You're right. People will be off the stretch. Beautiful. Beautiful.